So our reading today is going to be from Luke 18, and it's verses 35 to 43. So again, that's Luke 18, verses 35 to 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered for the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Should we just pray before we start? Lord, I thank you for your word and thank you for how you teach us through it. I pray that our hearts can be open today to what you have to say to us, and that we can listen to you. Lord, I just pray that you can help me to speak clearly and faithfully to you, and that you can speak through me. Amen. Right, well, good morning, everyone. My name is James, and if you don't know already, I'm from Belmont Chapel in Exeter. I've also brought along with me my fiance Becky, who's just over there. I have actually been here once before. I was actually here last year on Palm Sunday, so it's really nice to be back again. So before I start, I just want to say thank you for having me. It's really great to be back here to speak again on Palm Sunday. So last year I was an intern for Belmont, and this year I'm working as a software developer, so it's a little bit different. Okay, so today we're going to go through our last talk in our series from Belmont. There you go. And our series has been all about how Jesus brings change and how Jesus transforms lives through his miracles and through the things that he did. His miracles point people to who he is and lead people to praise God for his awesomeness. His miracles transformed people's lives physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. And we can also be transformed by what Jesus is and what he has done for us. So today we're going to be looking at a story that is in the book of Luke, which is one of the four Gospels. And we're going to be looking at a story of a blind man who was begging for money on the streets and how Jesus transformed his life. So at this point in Jesus' life, he is very well known and has taught many people, and he's also done many miracles. Some of these miracles we saw earlier in our series, such as healing a paralyzed man, feeding the 5,000, and raising a boy back from the dead. So Jesus and his disciples at this point are on their way to Jerusalem, but have just stepped off at Jericho. And before reaching this point, Jesus is a short way away from his death. So as they reach Jericho, a massive crowd has surrounded Jesus and his disciples. So as we start to look through this passage, I just want us to think about three different sort of points or themes from the passage. They're all kind of easy and pretty easy to follow. So number one is before meeting Jesus, number two is meeting Jesus, and number three is after meeting Jesus. So if you have a Bible and want to follow along with me as I go through the passage, that would be great. Okay, so let's start with our first point, which is before meeting Jesus. So in the first verse we see, verse 35, it tells us that as Jesus enters Jericho, a blind man is sitting at the side of the road begging. Now I want us to spend some time and think about this blind man and his life in Jesus' time. This man would have had a very hard life. He was blind and not able to see the world. His world is filled with darkness, and he's begging for money and can't do anything to support himself. He is on his own to beg for money, and no one is looking after him. His life is very limited. So this man would have had a very low social status and would have been seen as one of the lowest people in society. Back when Jesus was around, there was an assumption that if you were blind, it was either your fault or your parents' fault. And so because of that, you deserved to be treated badly. In John 9, we see another time where Jesus goes to heal a blind man. And his disciples say to him, "Teacher, whose sin has caused him to be born blind? Was it his own or his parents' sin?" So as you can see, people believed that it was something that either they did or the parents had done. And because of this, they were looked down on. To state it more concisely, the blind man lived in a time where people linked physical disability directly to personal and family morality. So in verse 36, we see that the man hears the crowd and asks what's happening. The man desperately wants to be involved and he wants to experience what the crowd is experiencing, but he can't. The man's life is very dark, it's very hopeless, and it's very lonely. Now I want us to realize that before Jesus, we are also like this blind man. We have no hope and we are in darkness. We may not be physically blind like the blind man, but before we know Jesus, we are spiritually blind. And because of this, we have no hope for the future and no Jesus in our sights. We don't see God for who he is and therefore don't see the hope that he brings and the inheritance that comes with being a child of God. Now in Acts, we have a great example of someone who was spiritually blind before they knew Jesus. And this person was Paul. Paul being the person that wrote many of the books in the New Testament. A man that professed Jesus' good news wherever he went and went across countries to tell people about Jesus. Now Paul, before he became a Christian, was a persecutor of people that followed Jesus. He killed Christians and hated them. And this was until God made him see and his eyes were opened to Jesus. He drastically changed from being a man that hated Christians to being a man that had to tell people about Jesus and who he was. And this was because he was spiritually blind before Jesus. Now in Ephesians 1 verse 18, we see this idea of spiritual blindness again. This is when Paul is writing to a church in Ephesus, and we see him pray that the church will gain this sort of sight. And so he prays in his own words that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened in order that they may know the hope to which he has called them. So as you can see, we are spiritually blind before God, and we can see that we are in need of sight to be able to see him. So in the film The Martian, the main character is on a mission to Mars when it all goes wrong for him and his crew. A violent dust storm appears and they have to abort their mission. And the main character is basically left on his own because they think that he's lost in the storm. So on his own, with only little supplies, he must draw upon his wit and spirit to survive and find a way to signal Earth to tell them that he's alive. So as we go through the film, Mark starts to make a life for himself, the main character, and things aren't actually looking too bad. NASA now know that he's there and they start looking for him. And Mark has actually found a way to plant crops and to eat. So all he has to do really is sit there and wait. But all this changes when Mark's airlock gets open and his crops wither and die. And Mark, the usually composed character, breaks down. He's in trouble and no longer safe. His hope has been lost for what might have been his only chance to survive. The future is dark for Mark and it doesn't look good. So I don't think we are in Mars, but we are in a somewhat similar situation in some ways. So we may feel comfortable in our lives and might feel like Mark when he had his crops, content in his own world and in our world. But the truth is we are all blind without Jesus. We are like Mark when the crops go. We are in a hopeless situation with no future hope of the inheritance of Christ. We are all in need of some help to get us out of our hopeless situation. Right, well, I'm sorry to start on a depressing note, but let's move on. There's more to go. So let's go on to our second point, where we're going to look more into the passage and we're going to think about the blind man's transformation when he meets Jesus. So in verses 37 and 38, the crowd tell the blind man that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he responds by calling out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Have you noticed that the man is calling him son of David, not Jesus of Nazareth, like the crowd is calling him? Now in Jesus' day, the son of David was the title for the Messiah and the Saviour, the long-awaited righteous king who would once and for all come to secure victory for God's people. So the blind man is acknowledging him for who he is and not for who the crowd is. The man is showing his faith in Jesus and he's accepting that Jesus is the Saviour, unlike the crowd. He acknowledges that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. And so he sees his chance for hope and he shouts out for it, calling for Jesus. Now in verse 39 we see that the blind man gets rebuked and told to stop shouting. People were telling him to stop, but how does he respond? Desperate out of his dark situation, he shouts even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The blind man knows that if anyone can help him, it will be Jesus, and he has faith that Jesus can change him. And so he keeps shouting louder, not caring what people have to say. So on a quick side note, we might often be told not to talk to Jesus. We might be told that it's stupid to go to God. We might get looked down on by people for going to him. Or we might feel like we're not worthy to talk to Jesus. But actually, Jesus wants us to come to him. Anyone can come to Jesus. There is no particular type of person or Christian that can only go to God. His invitation is open in the same way it is to the blind man, to all of us. So how does Jesus respond to the blind man calling out for him? Well, in verse 40, Jesus stops and asks for the blind man to be brought to him. And in verse 41, Jesus asks the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Again, on a quick side note, presumably Jesus knows exactly what the blind man wants. It's probably quite obvious, I'd imagine. But he asks anyway. Is that odd? I don't think it is. I think that Jesus wants us to accept that we need his help. And he wants us to come to him for help. So the blind man responds to Jesus by saying, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus says, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." And immediately the man was healed. So what's happened here? Well, the man's eyes are healed and he sees light from the darkness and Jesus in front of him as his first sight. The man has been given a whole new life, filled with hope, potential, joy, colour, and new experiences. The man was healed by his faith. By his faith in Jesus, the man could see and his eyes were open. In verse 42, we see Jesus say, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Now in Greek, the word healed is translated to sozo. And it actually has two meanings. One meaning is healed and the other is saved. So Jesus is telling the man that his faith has saved him. The man has been saved through his faith and sight in seeing Jesus as the Son of God. The man has been healed of his sight and has been saved because of his faith in Jesus. And this is what Jesus wants. He wants faith in him as the Saviour and as the Messiah and as the King. With faith, Jesus transforms the blind man into sight. And this is the same for us. This is the same for us. We are spiritually blind, and Jesus wants us to have faith in him. And by that faith, God gives us spiritual sight. Sight to see Jesus and to understand him better. Jesus wants us to step out into faith in the same way that the blind man did. He wants us to step out into faith so that he can transform us with the sight of who he is and what he is to us. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, "Walk by faith and not by sight." The blind man couldn't see, but what he could see was Jesus and as the Messiah. And because of his faith, he was transformed by Jesus with sight. So I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon. I haven't, but I've seen some pictures. If you don't know the Grand Canyon, it looks like that. It's not a great picture, to be fair, but it's basically just a big canyon in America, and it's huge and it looks amazing. So at the Grand Canyon, there is this skywalk, and it looks like a long semicircle, and it basically stretches out into the canyon. The whole semicircle is made of glass, and it basically feels as though you are floating in the canyon. So walking out in faith is a little bit like this skywalk. You have to have faith that the glass is there, and that if you walk out into the edge of the canyon, you're not just going to fall straight into the canyon. But if you step out in faith that that glass is there, you'll be able to see more of the canyon than you would have seen before. And you'll be able to see the canyon in a completely different way. And this is what it's like with Jesus. If we walk out in faith of him, he transforms your spiritual sight of him. And he'll reveal more of himself to you than you would have seen before. So are we going to have the same faith in Jesus and step out in faith and let him transform us with the spiritual sight of who he is? Have you stepped out in faith of Jesus? Okay, so let's go on to our last point now, where we're going to think about after meeting Jesus and after the man was transformed by Jesus. So in verses 43, we see that the man has been healed instantly. So I want you to think, what would you do if you were this blind man and suddenly you were healed and able to see? Would you maybe go to see the sea for the first time? Would you go to see your family's faces and tell them the good news? Would you climb a mountain to see the view from the top and to see the sunset? Would you go out and look for work so that you finally don't Would you go out and look for work so that you finally don't have to be hungry and finally don't have to be living on the streets? I imagine that all of us would want to do something like that and use our new senses in a new world filled with new experiences. Now on YouTube I found this story of these two blind girls who had been blind from birth. But because of a charity called 20/20/20, they are able to see after a 15-minute operation. So their bandages come off and straight away they look to their mum and they smile. And then straight after that, they go into this field, a field that they've probably been in thousands of times. But as you see, they just experience it in a completely different way and they just use their new senses. They just enjoy the new sense that they've been given. So they use their new senses in their new world. But what does our blind man do in our story? Well, if we look back to verse 43, I think we can see that the blind man does three things after being healed by Jesus. So number one, he follows Jesus and he walks close with him on his way to Jerusalem. Number two, we see in verse 43, he worships Jesus, worshipping him for who he is and what he has done. The man has gone from hopeless and in darkness to saved and healed. So the man is thankful for Jesus and worships him. And thirdly, we see that the man is a witness for Jesus. In verse 43 again, we see that the man follows and worships Jesus, and the people around him also praise God. They see what's happened to the man and how the man reacts, and from that, people around also praise God. He's being a witness of Jesus and evidence of what Jesus has done. And because of that, people also see Jesus for who he is. Now in Mark's gospel, we have this same story of this blind man, but with one big difference. And that difference is that the man is named. And his name is Bartimaeus. Now this is actually quite unusual for a story in the Bible of someone being healed, because the person isn't usually named. Now, in Bible commentaries, one reason that they say this might be is because Bartimaeus is still around and is maybe still known to Mark. Now, we can't confirm that because it's not directly in the Bible, but it does seem quite likely that that would be the case. You could almost imagine Bartimaeus still being around in Acts once Jesus is gone, as being one of the Christians who's still telling people about Jesus, telling them what he did for him and how he believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Bartimaeus is still going around, following Jesus, worshipping him, and being a witness to him. So how can this relate to us? Well, if we have done the same as Bartimaeus and have stepped out in faith and have been given spiritual sight, are we going to do the same as Bartimaeus? Are we doing what a saved and healed person of Jesus would do? Will we act as someone who has been transformed from darkness to light? So will we follow Jesus? Will we stay close to him daily and try and follow him in what he says and does? Will he be the one that we look to follow in our daily lives? And will we go to his word to follow what he wants to teach us? Will we worship Jesus and praise him for what he has done and have admiration for what Jesus has done in our lives in the same way that the blind man did? Will we have admiration for how Jesus has brought us sight into who he is and what he has done for us and be grateful for him dying on the cross for our sins? Will we thank Jesus for transforming us? And lastly, will we be a witness of Christ? The man showed people what Jesus had done. Will we show people how we are transformed through Jesus because of the sight and salvation he has given us? Will we show Christ in our actions and have Christ shine through us as a light? Will we openly and boldly share our faith with the people that we meet and know in the same way that the blind man did? And will we share our story of how Jesus has changed us? If we are Christians, we probably all have stories of how Jesus has worked in our lives and how we have been changed through Jesus. And those stories are powerful, so are we going to share them? Will we follow, worship, and be a witness for Christ? So as we finish, I just want us to think about where we are in comparison to the blind man. Are you blind and have not seen Jesus for who he is yet and have not seen him as the Son of God? Do you need to step out in faith and let God transform you with spiritual sight? Do you know Jesus and have been given sight through him? Does he still fill your gaze or have your eyes wandered? Do you need to act as someone who has been given sight by him and follow, worship, and be a witness to him? We are all blind and at some point are in need of Jesus to transform us and take us from darkness to light. We are all blind and need to put our faith in him and step out in that faith. We are all in need of a saviour to take us from hopeless to saved in him. Let's just pray as we finish. Lord, thank you for how you change our lives. Thank you for this example of someone being changed from darkness to light. Thank you that you give us sight to see you for who you are and what you've done for us. Please help us to step out into faith and to follow, worship, and be a witness of you as we go through our daily lives. Amen. So we are now going to go to our last song now, which is number 790, and it is called You Are the King of Glory. So this song is all about how Jesus is our King and our Messiah. So as we think of Palm Sunday and we think of Jesus coming in on his donkey triumphantly into Jerusalem, let's think of Jesus as our King and our Messiah.